Go to the Word Radio Broadcast, a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. Today we're speaking on a mother's salvation. We trust you have your Bible open and stay with us for the next several minutes as we go to the Word. The Bible says in Proverbs that he that chasteneth his son will save his soul from hell. What's a mother's salvation? Her words. Her words. She's pouring in there the smiles, the words. She's pouring in there that nurturing, that love, that acceptance. You know, the world would take that child and destroy that child in a minute. It would sell it into child trafficking and it would send them on over to some other country or some other faraway state. It would put them into slavery. It would even take their bodies and rip them apart for people to take their organs. And this is happening in our day. So recognize that you are heroes protecting that child. That's what you are. Honey, get over here. I remember one time we came out of a place once and there's all these people coming out of this place and our child ran away and they went into this store that was nearby. When they went into this store, they were in between those rounded racks of clothing. We couldn't find her anyway. We're in back in. We're panicking. Why? Because even back then when they were really small, we knew what could happen. When you're at the street and the child wants to run out behind a car and run into the street, even though nothing's coming, you know what could happen. There's a lot of danger out there. And so a mother's salvation is very huge. And when that woman is taking this child and that is being gentle to that child, like a minister is being gentle and teaching somebody that's struggling with some kind of bondage, when that happens, what they're telling him is about Jesus. Do you know how much Jesus loves you, honey? Do you know how much Jesus loves you? Now, if you had a mom that dondled you on your knee, on her knee, when you were little, and she told you about Jesus, you are super, super blessed. The Bible says, who can find a virtuous woman? Her price is far above rubies. He says it's hard to find people who are doing that. And some of us would have to say, well, yeah, I was not saved back then. And I feel bad. Well, don't feel bad. Just do what you can now. They see the salvation that you've gotten and they can see it in you. And they still love you like mom. If you get on TV, hi, mom. Dad's sitting there saying, okay, what about me? Chop liver over here. But it's always hi, mom. Why? Because mom gave the smiles. God, mom gave the encouragement. Mom. Don't begrudge it. It's a job. It's a technology. It's a technical discipline, a technical field that many people have abandoned, but not you, because you gave yourself to your children. Nope. So we see if we could write this into a sentence, maybe I could put it this way. Now, just hear this. If you want to get it on the radio or on the sermon audio, you can go back and write it down, so I won't repeat it more than once. But if I were to break this and take this, these words and put them all into a little bit of a flowing sentence like Paul did and blow it up here a little bit, you could say, mothers become a friendly word near the child she nurses as she warms them through protecting and disciplining them. And when I put the word nurses and I wrote this out and I was pondering it, when I think of a nurse, I don't think of a nursing mother. You know, that's obviously primary, but it's certainly not my world because I'm not a girl. I don't have any thought on that except that that's another amazing reality. But what I do think is that nursing a child that's being born, think about this. The child has a sin nature. The child is born into this world wounded already. The child needs the therapy of love, smiles, time, a good word, it's going to be okay. And when they begin to walk without crutches, I mean, I'm obviously embellishing the idea, but think about it. They're born with a wounded soul because they got Adam's nature. And you're there to help them make a successful go of this life. Verse 8 says, so being affectionately desirous of you, we were willing to have imparted unto you not the gospel only, but also our own souls, because you were dear unto us. What a powerful word, huh? There's a lot in here as well. First thing I want you to realize, we talked about her words. Now what we're talking about is her wish. What she wishes as a godly mother for her child. You remember Paul was witnessing to the Thessalonians. He was winning them to Christ. He had 2 weeks, maybe a little more, two Sabbath days, maybe a little more than 2 weeks. He was with them, and then he was run out by his persecutors, run out of town. And what we find is that his heart longed to be there for them. And so when he says being affectionately desirous of you, you're talking about something that happened in the last verse, in verse 7. And it's that we became, something we weren't before. We became different. Paul became different when somebody got saved. This is why God wants us all to be soul winners. It doesn't have to be a ton of souls. He wants you to win somebody, though, because once you win somebody, you begin to feel what he feels. How jealous he is for their success. Now, don't do it in a backyard planter, okay? You feel all jealous for that plant that you put in or that tree or whatever. Do it in reality. Do it in soulology, okay? And what I'm saying is he became something different with them. It became natural for him to become affectionately desirous of them. And that means that he just wished he could get back. His heart was broken. He's writing this letter saying, my heart's breaking. I'm wondering, are you guys okay? And he gets a word back, and yeah, they're doing okay. So he writes this letter and says, man, we were a mess. If your child is in harm's way, you get into a place where you feel like you're a mess because your heart is knit to that child. Men, on the other hand, we get like gut punch feeling. And our gut punch is like stiff upper lip. And, you know, we'll pray prayer under our breath. But I was told about a man who actually came, had his son go to the military, went off into a battle zone where it was really, really dangerous. And his worry was there, but nobody ever saw it. You know, Dad, he never shows anything. But when his son was home and everybody was there and gathering around the son, and they were given that hug and that love and just listening to his stories and just giving him the slaps and the back slaps and the love that he so personally was thriving on at the moment. Somebody looked around and said, where'd Dad go? And so the son left the place and he went out into the barn and he found his dad in the barn. And he was on his knees. And he was praying and thanking God his son came home. Mothers own that. They show it. We men were there like helping them when they're overwhelmed by what could be. We become the rock, but it's not that we're not affected. It's different. Women wear it on their sleeve. And the woman who knows how to get hold of Jesus and get some help, that's the woman who will fare the best in those kind of times, right? But these women have that going on in an overt way, affectionate desire. They just desire their success. Jealous for their joy. Don't want them to make a ruin of their lives because we know how one decision in one day can make all the difference, right? We know that. Moms know that because they've invested so much. You've heard the verse, right? Where your treasure is, there your heart will be. And mothers pour out everything on the field. And he says, being affectionately desirous of you. And that word literally has the idea of yearning. Longing, aching. And again, this word is a very unique word. It's only found here in the Bible. If you go into the Septuagint, which is the Greek translation of the Old Testament, they use this word there one place. Okay? And it's in Job. He's in the throes of the initial shock of his plague. It's in chapter 3, so he's been silent. He's had a problem with the devil for a chapter. He's had his buddies there for a little bit. And he's just on a soliloquy, having a speaking words out of his heart and how he feels. He says, why is light given to him that is in misery? Life unto him bitter in soul, which long for death. Isn't that powerful? But it cometh not, and dig for it more than for hid treasures. You might put that by that verse, greatly desiring, and put that Job 3, verses 20 and 21. Because that will remind you of how deep this longing was. That Paul was experiencing, which he saw almost as a maternal instinct. Yearning. You may recall that when the Ark of the Covenant had fallen to the Philistines, that the Philistines were all plagued, and when they were sending it back, they took a couple of cows, kind, that never, you know, that had some babies back there. They were milking cows.
And they put the ark on the back of his cart, and then they put the cows, and they said, well, if God's in it, what? You know, they'll go home. But yeah, he's not in this. This is crazy. We're just testing the water. And the Bible says that that ark made a beeline back to Israel. And the Bible says the kine were lowing as they went. Remember that? That's the longing. That's the agony. That's the yearning. Men don't always understand. Paul understood it. And the Bible says, being affectionately desirous of you, we were willing to have imparted unto you not the gospel of God only, but also our own souls. Now, understand the word gospel. It is a sad, sad thing to say that many Christians do not understand what the gospel really is. It's a big, it becomes like a big issue. At first they did, because if they truly are born again, they were told the gospel and they understood the power of a word, just the word of Jesus, about Jesus. And what they have is, therefore, that ability to tell somebody else, well, I went to the church and they told me about Jesus, if they're being clear. Because they got it clear in their own mind. Well, it says, you know, we wanted to impart to you the gospel. Let's start there. Mom, you need to impart the gospel to your children, of Jesus, the gospel of Jesus to your children. Do it early, do it daily, do it everywhere. In fact, when you're talking about the gospel, a lot of people don't understand this, but the church is not where the children are won. They should be won at home. The Bible says in Deuteronomy 6, it says, and these words which I command thee this day shall be in your heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. You will talk of them when you sit in thine house, and when you walk in the way, and when you lie down at night, and when you rise up in the morning. You will bind them for a sign upon your hand, and they shall be frontlets between your eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and on thy gates. You see, salvation is more caught than taught. It can be taught at an older age. But when children catch it early, it's easy for children to see God's hand when they're younger in your life, if you're walking with Him. When our truck broke down, I told you about our van broke down. We had three kids in the back and we were just all acting like we're kind of pushing it along by, you know, moving. Everybody, come on, you're just getting them all, because we were worried. We didn't want to get them worried. And we rolled right into a rest home, Maybe I should have gone to a rest home. I don't know. We rolled right into a rest area. And when we got into that rest area, the man who was there working, after he saw we were in a little bit of distress with a young family, he said, can I help you? And I kind of, oh, no, I got this. I was a little abrupt. I wasn't mean to him. I just was abrupt. And I'm good. We called our family that we were going to, and they came and got the kids and everything. I went back the next day. I said, I hope I wasn't a little too harsh with you. And long story short, our kids found out, as I found out, this man needed saving, and he got saved. And our kids remember that because they watch you. They watch you. And even if dad does bite once in a while, he goes back and tries to fix it. They watch that too. And when he fixes it, the guy gets saved. Okay, I get it. I can fall down and I can get up. All of that they're watching. They're watching it in mom. They're watching it in dad later even more. Because by virtue of default, God has made it such that the women are the front lines for the children. But they're under the delegation of the wife. The wife is under the delegation of the husband. Okay, the idea is that she's a keeper of the home, a guardian of the home, and he goes and makes sure the home is provided for. But when he comes back in, he's looking to make sure everything's in order. And if things aren't in order in these things, then he has to kind of step around that and do it himself. No, you got to do it in the morning, do it at night, talk about it when you go down, when you go up. Everything should be about Jesus, because your children are what a mother's salvation is all about. She's got it, and she wants to give it to her kids. Well, that concludes today's portion of the message. This has been a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. And I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. I hope you'll join us Monday through Friday for our verse-by-verse studies. And we hope you'll tell others to tune in as well. If you'd like to contact us and learn more about our ministry, go to faithbaptist1.net. You can also download recent broadcasts on our homepage. We hope you'll make it a point to tune in daily as we go to the Word.